Here's Andy Burcham with This Week in Auburn Baseball.
Welcome to This Week in Auburn Baseball. The Tigers are on the road for the next four games. The Tigers play at Georgia Tech on Tuesday night. That's a 6 o'clock Central Time start. Then the Tigers head to Mizzou for the weekend. We're joined now by Tigers head coach Bush Thompson, who picked up his 100th SEC win. Boy, and it was a doozy. It was a doozy Sunday night.
It was a doozy. I don't have a lot of words, a lot of emotions, and needing one so bad, and just the back and forth. And but down 5-0 and seeing a team hang in there. We scored in all but, you know, I think, two innings. It felt like we had a chance to score each and every inning. So I just thought the guys did a good job of staying invested after all we've been through. And then to get a lead, a couple of big home runs. A home run has eluded us as of late, to hit a couple in one inning, and then to surrender the lead and then come back and really be down to two outs and nobody on. And Mason Maynard's to hit that triple down the first baseline and made it possible, and we were able to get it done.
To do that, and especially after the way the game Saturday ended, we're a back-and-forth game, and Ole Miss gets a run on four walks and a sacrifice fly on Saturday, and then give up five runs in the top of the first on Sunday. Some ball clubs might just say, heck with it. Not this team, not this Auburn baseball squad.
No, the character's been good, and the leadership's been good, and the, you know, the performance is not, you know, but they've continued to battle. I really take it into last week, you know, too. Same thing happened in Baton Rouge, and we come out and find a game three win. That part of our club has been there, and it was the last two weekends you've been able to see it through their play and hanging in there. Every coach, every player, everybody's disappointed, but there's still some resolve and fight in this group, and I appreciate that so much out of them. And I was telling our guys, if they had an opportunity, they had a microphone in their face, to make sure that we talk about our fans and more people that's ever come to the season we have more people that's ever come watched Auburn baseball than in history. And it's one thing when we're a top 25 club like early in the year, but to see our fans and the crowds that we had this weekend with school being done and out, and I know it's graduation weekend, but to see the crowd show up for our team like that, it helps our players. And that's an Auburn feature that I know in my heart of hearts, that they're there for these guys. They know what they can do. They know what they'll do again. But this is a time where our fans can absolutely make a difference for our players, maybe more so than when things are going great.
Highlight a couple of the players from the weekend. And although he doesn't figure in the decision with a win or a loss, Chase Alsup gave you as good as he's pitched all year. But that was maybe the most important outing for Chase Alsup in this Auburn team. After Cam Tilley left with the game, with the trouble into his side, for Chase Alsup to come in, had not warmed up yet, to come in and pitch the way he did, I thought showed great resolve for that young man. And that's two really stellar outings in a row for Chase, if you go back to his start against Florida A&M a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I'll go back. Chase Alsup, just a guy that we tried to push in there as our number one pitcher at the beginning of the year, to fight and go through. He's grown each and every year. And then he takes a midweek start, makes the most of it. I think he's always believed that everybody has his best interest at heart, and sometimes it's really hard for a player, to a coach, anybody, to have to step back or be demoted or asked to do something different. He embraced that, and he gave us probably his best outing ever. And then he follows up with an opportunity again in a conference game, and he made the most of it. So we did everything we could not to win the game on the mound before Chase was in there. I think Cam Tilley's got a slight oblique, and I don't think that'll be an issue for a long time, but it really shortened that game with the short start and then the injury, and he gave us 4 2/3 innings. Chase also won the game on the mound. We even tried to maybe give it away there late, but what he did yesterday absolutely gave us a chance to be in a close game, and even though we got behind late, it gave us a chance to win the game, and we came through, not like the day before, but Chase has continued to grow, he's going to be a nice draft pick. And I think it's just a good reminder where he's felt like everybody's always had his best interest, handled things the right way. And really, these last two starts and his journey this year, he's been rewarded for it, and it's helped our team.
4 2/3 innings in the Sunday game, gave up 4 hits, one run, and struck out a career-high 9.
Yeah, and got on a roll there. Yeah. I know he struck out 4 or 5 in a roll, and just the breaking stuff landing, the fastball. We talked about early in the year, and it was true that he had had more control. And then maybe that control turns into real command within the confines of the strike zone, of having authority over different quadrants of the zone. And that's why I say his future is very bright.
Sunday game was certainly back and forth. You go to the 8th inning, and Auburn has come all the way back. You get the lead on a couple home runs. They come right back in the 9th inning and take the lead back. And you're down to your last out in the bottom half of the 9th with Mason Mainers at the plate, just back from his injury, triples inside the first base bag. And then you go to Caleb Freeman for his biggest at-bat of the season for the Tigers. And that single up the middle, it scores Mainers. The game has tied. You pinch run now with Javon Hernandez, who goes to second on a wild pitch, steals third, and then scores on a pass ball to win the ball game.
Yeah. And Mason, that's one of our high-character guys, and that's been a struggle. Even his at-bats, being back in the lineup's not 100%. But he stayed with it so good to allow that triple to show up. Caleb Freeman's a guy that didn't play for a lot this year, come in as a catcher, third baseman, eventually moved to the outfield. That's another incredible journey to document how long it's taken a first-year player to get into the fray. Had some at-bats sparingly, didn't see anything, and it's hard to break in, but stayed with it enough that when he's got his opportunities, made the most of it, hit his first home run at Mississippi State a couple of weeks ago, and has just absolutely continued to try to figure things out, and winds up, you know, helping us at this stage with some of the injuries. Looks like he's got a quick bat. Looks like everything, now that he's had some at-bats, it's gotten better and better. He waited a long time for his opportunity, and what a huge hit yesterday. So he's ready and persevered. And then when Hernandez was dumped in the game at first base, I mean, he was vaulting and had the green light from the first pitch, and looked like he was interested in trying to advance to second. So those are the things I mean, that you have to look at maybe a deeper level of understanding, are these guys still engaged? And, yes, they very are. It's just when you're not getting hits or you're not performing, that's the first thing that – human nature wants to question is the toughness, and is somebody engaged and fighting hard? That was another example of absolutely convicted that guys are absolutely interested in continuing to play and compete.
Must have been the Skittles and the nerd clusters for Javon. He said he was all hopped up on Skittles and nerd clusters when he went out there to run.
Yeah, it doesn't last long. I'm glad he may have took his dose of Skittles at the right time.
Saturday and Sunday turned out to be the 11th and 12th SEC games that are one-run games for this Auburn ball club again.
Yeah. It's, none of this is what we thought prescribed. And, you know, I talked about this being a top 25 team early in the year, and they were. So these are hard. These are hard for a coach. It's hard for a fan base. It's hard for players. To persevere, but you know, sometimes when you go through life and you're right on the wrong side, you know, our performance of play, you know, there's a level, and each year the league sets it, and it set it pretty high this year, and we documented how that first half was going to have to go with the teams that we played, so that line, that watermark, was pretty high, and you have to play to it, to punch back and forth and even contest, and you need enough players, or you have to play at a certain level that plays above that watermark, or you're just beneath it. And for whatever reason, breaks or momentum or timely hitting escaped, our game's different. You know, we don't have a line of scrimmage and some other things, so baseball is a different thought process. But for whatever reason, we haven't met the watermark within the league and on the weekend this year the way we have in our non-conference and some other things. So that's a challenge, and it has been a challenge, and the proper response is still required. And we've talked over and over, and I'll keep doing it, because this is the proper response is the best way for us to get back to the watermark and having enough players or having a team be able to perform above the watermark is what you have to do in this league.
With as much moving of parts defensively as Auburn's had this season, and second base, third base, left field, right field, first base, shortstop, even a catcher, your ball club has only committed one error in its last eight games. It's fielding 996 in its last eight baseball games.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, me as a coach, traditionally it's hard to make sense. You know, you see the number of hits, but we did lose some power in there. We were getting some hits and had some power. The giving up of home runs, that's really hard to erase if you're not hitting home runs. But again, I think that shows that guys are locked in and they do a good job in practice. We've been practicing since August, and so being able to handle the baseball. But the league is just very offensive, and this league is built around, you know, hitting's a tough skill. It's still a tough skill. And probably the times that, you know, I've been associated with the Auburn program as an assistant, coming back as a head coach, but really all 23 years in the SEC, when the pitching's not exactly the way you want it to be, you have trouble finishing and starting, and that's definitely been there for us. And injuries, when you're injured and you're counting on four or five pieces, that becomes a challenge, and sometimes that gets you below that mark of what's acceptable in our league. I was looking at five hitters that were absolutely, when we were put together early in the year, and I'd have to throw McMurray, who hadn't missed time. It's done a great job being an everyday starter. Irish, Mainers, Weiss, and then, you know, Pierce, not ever since Vanderbilt first weekend, not having the consistency of him being in there. But I look at, you know, with Pierce out, I look at those four other guys, and they're like 6 for 89. And these guys, I think as we got through the weekend, it was like 7 for over 100. And I'm not calling those guys out. I'm just calling out these guys that perform more. I mean, Irish and McMurray particularly are sitting right at 50 RBI, double-digit home runs. Weiss done a nice job offensively as a college shortstop of having over, you know, he's got 35 RBI, hit the big home run mm-hmm. to really put us ahead yesterday to the opposite field, because late in the game you're forcing people to beat you the other way, and what an amazing swing he got off. But it's really hard to go with the challenges we've had on the mound and proven performers, in my opinion. Bringing all those guys in to where, you know, if they're not clicking or they're going through injuries, because the game of baseball does not care if you're hurt or if you're in a slump. The game doesn't care. It's just, it is what it is. But those guys contributed. Weiss's home run, I just mentioned, the triple, Mainers was huge. Ike followed up Weiss's home run with one himself, and he's been swinging and swinging as hard as he can. To get one off, and it was like, hopefully that's a lot of steam let off in that when he hit out. And that's, to me, you know how I feel about Ike. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, in my opinion, one of the best competitors and hitters in college baseball. And then Cooper McMurray got a big double. That was huge release for him after, you know, some of these guys not being around him or behind him and people pitching him different. And, you know, you're not going to get the same pitches when you're not protected right behind you. So all those guys contributed offensively yesterday to help us get to 10. We needed 10 yesterday, and that looked more like our ball club, especially offensively, because you had other guys that still got hits and not having the box score. I know Stanfield had a couple of hits and made a couple of dives. So that was kind of a complete offensive-type group, and it felt like we were going to score. You know, we didn't just get all five back either. We scored like two and then one and then one and then one. First four innings of the ball game to climb back in. That felt like our offense of a couple of months ago playing yesterday.
All right, before we look at this weekend, it's a tough week on the road with Tech and Mizzou. Three former Auburn baseball players were inducted into two different halls of fame this weekend. Scott Sullivan, who's been on the Talking Tigers podcast the last couple of weeks, inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And then Mark Chapman and Casey McElroy, both inducted into their high school Hall of Fame. They're both from Boone High School in Orlando. So Saturday was a big day for former Auburn players to be enshrined in Halls of Fame this weekend.
Yeah, connection to all three great men. care about our program as of today a lot. They do a lot of things where their family has given, but they also do a lot of, you know, they're just there and help in every way. Scott especially, you know, the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame is a big deal.
Yeah.
If you look around the nation and you look at the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame there in Birmingham, it's basically second to none with the people that are in there. And I would encourage everybody that cares about sports, man, when you're passing through there, that's definitely a visit. And you would see really quick when you see the – if you just did the top five names that are inducted there, you would see how rich and deep. And he joins a couple people, you know, that are part of our program, like Hal Baird in the past and Tim Hudson, that make that pretty special deal. But, man, Scott almost had 500 appearances just for one club, the Cincinnati Reds, and was a walk-on here to a second-rounder. What a great story. And that happened here at Auburn. And for that to culminate in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, he's so deserving. I got to watch it this morning of his induction speech because we were playing within an hour of the ceremony and our game against Ole Miss yesterday. I'd love to be there for Scott. And he's my next-door neighbor. When I was here as an assistant, he was on staff. So that relationship started back in 2007 or so. And it's been a special one for me because of how he's poured into me and my family and how he's represented Auburn and just been there for the baseball coach has meant a lot to me. So congratulations to all three men. They're amazing, so well-deserving, and happy to call all three a friend.
All right. On the road for four straight games, and it starts with Georgia Tech in Atlanta. This is always a great game. It's outstanding playing surface. You talk about the playing surface there at Georgia Tech every time we go. Yeah. And then you followed up with a big weekend road trip at Mizzou, and that's an improved ball club from a year ago.
Yeah, first-year head coach, doing a good job with that club. He had been there before, Carrick Jackson, a good friend, was an assistant, like I said, at Missouri before. I think he knows the roadmap of making Missouri the best it can be, and I think he's well underway to doing that. So look forward to seeing him and competing against those guys. That field sets up on top of a mountain there, so you never know which way that wind's blowing, and it can be 30, 40 mile per hour either way. Being closer around the Midwest, people would understand that. So checking the weather is something that you have to do when you go play at Missouri. But, again, I think offensively with the pieces that he has, I think good coaching has allowed them to know who they are. So I think they have an identity, and I think they're going to be a version of Kentucky of trying to do different facets and understanding, you know, we need to do this to be the best we can be. I think they have a good understanding of that, looking at them. And, you know, they'll have probably three right-handed starters. We'll have to be ready for that as well. Georgia Tech, I've always – it's one of my favorite fields because it's like a flat sheet of paper, mm-hmm. just in a great, you know, a great visual looking out over downtown. And they've played well. They haven't – lost but one or two games since we got them here at Plainsman Park, so I know they'll be ready for us. Very right-handed lineup. You got the Burris kid that's been the talk of college baseball. I think he's up to 18 home runs checking this morning. We'll try Joseph Gonzalez out there, kind of hopefully stir some of the stuff that we did with Alsop, and some of that will happen for Joseph, at least to get us started. But we want to look at a lot of guys, not only for tomorrow night but for the future. And a lot of times this year, a lot of teams do the – you know, a reliever, an inning type deal. So we'll do a lot of staffing, and hopefully Joseph can get us off to a good start tomorrow night in Atlanta.
Tuesday night at 6 at Georgia Tech, and then on the weekend at Missouri. Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, and Sunday at 1. We'll see you at the ballpark. Thanks for the visit. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Tigers head coach Butch Thompson on This Week in Auburn Baseball.